It's almost 12 noon. The alarm will be going off on my phone, as it will be, and there's just going off on your phone. And that means it's time to pray. And we're going to take a moment and bow together as we think of the nation and the great needs of our land and this coronavirus that is still spreading. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and everlasting Father, in Jesus' name we come to the mercy seat, and we commit ourselves to Thee in what we're facing through the world and in our own country with coronavirus. It's now been a month of lockdown conditions as far as church is concerned. We know in the midst of it all, God has a plan and He has a purpose, and He's working it out through the earth in every nation. For some, it's a chastening hand of God, correcting us, bringing us back into the way again, showing to us our sins and our shortcomings, things that need to be put right with God. For others, it's a trial, and you brought them into a dark place to prove them. And Lord, we pray that we will come forth like gold, as Job spoke about. We know in these days hearts have been troubled. We hear of the unconverted who have been thinking about the Lord and thinking about their soul, thinking about their sin and eternity more than ever. And we do pray that You will break them and melt them and mould them and bring them into the saving way whereby they shall be redeemed. But Lord, we know at the same time that You want Your people together in worship. You don't want us to have empty churches like we face today. And so we do pray in Your time and in Your will that You will bring about the circumstances whereby we can get back to normal in God's house on the Lord's day and at other times for the preaching of Your word and the fellowship of the saints. Do remember our health service today, especially those in frontline services. We commit them into Your care. Protect them and keep them. And those throughout our churches that are affected by this virus, Lord, remember them for good this hour in Jesus' name. We come into the presence of God today to give thanks and to worship the Lord, and also to make a very happy announcement. It's connected to the church. It's also connected to our family. And as you see from the slide here, David Moffat has been born. And some of you like the details. He was 8 pounds 6 ounces. He was born last night late at about 20 to 12 or 11:41, I think, is the precise time of his birth. He's come into this world healthy, for which we give the Lord praise and honour. And we congratulate Josh and Leah, and we rose, and we welcome this new baby into the world and into a Christian family, into a Christian church, praying earnestly that early in life he will seek the Saviour. We're going to worship the Lord as we listen to the Psalm 34 being sung. It's pre-recording, just to make that clear to you from the past. And as we listen to these words, the beautiful words of the Psalm 34, may your heart be encouraged and strengthened.
Thank you.
Just been listening to those beautiful verses of the Psalm 34. What an encouragement it is for us to pray. And just in a few minutes' time after the reading of our psalm, we're going to seek the Lord together in prayer. The righteous cry unto the Lord. He unto them gives ear. And they out of their troubles all by him delivered are. We can really identify with the psalm and certainly with this part of it. As the righteous cry to him and the Lord delivers us from our troubles. Our psalm for today is the psalm number 10. And we're going to read this psalm with the congregation who is listening. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thy face, thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of the heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Let's bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we still our hearts in thy holy and sacred presence just now. Make us conscious and aware who it is that we come before, whose presence it is that we are now entering, the great God of glory, the one who is eternal and infinite and unchangeable in his being. We thank thee for all the wonderful attributes and perfections of God. We bless thee today that thou art a God of love and grace, forgiveness and mercy, and we have experienced this in our lives. We thank thee that God did not leave us in our sin, but he worked out a plan of redemption in the giving up of his own son to die upon the cross of Calvary and to pay the price that we owed, the debt that we owed. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross and laid down his life and purchased eternal redemption for his own dear people. And we have been made recipients of such a blessing. We are found in Christ today, robed in his righteousness and washed in his blood. We have a standing with God. We can say that our future is secure. We know where we're going. Beyond all shadow of a doubt, heaven is our home. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But Lord, while We wait until that moment when we are in glory. We must traverse this scene of time and walk as pilgrims through it. And Lord, we know that there are many difficulties and trials to face in life's journey. And we're passing through such a time that has never been experienced before by the Christian church, with this coronavirus that has shut down so many churches through the world. And yet we're very conscious that God is over all and he is undertaking for us. And we thank thee for the modern technology that we enjoy, that is able to keep us in touch with our congregations and our people, able to tune in and listen on the Sabbath day and be part of services, even though not physically present. We pray that thou wilt bless this time together. May we know just where we are, the preacher in the pulpit, the congregation at home, at their computer, or whatever they're listening into this service on. May we know the presence of God in a very powerful way. May we hear God speak to our hearts, open our ears, give us understanding in our heart, that we might drink in the things of God. Thou hast spoken to us already in the psalm that we've sung together, and also in this psalm that we have read from your holy word. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon these things. We know that today was the day that our conference was to commence with our brother, Pastor Dennis Lyle. And we know that in this respect, there's disappointment because these meetings are not taking place. But Lord, you know all about this circumstance. And we pray that this week, nonetheless, will be a blessed week, that we will be found much in the scriptures ourselves, studying the Bible for ourselves, and knowing the prophet therein. Bless our brother Lyle at this time, and encourage him and his dear wife in the things of God. Lord, remember the poor and needy. We think of those not only in our own country, but very especially through the world and the nations of the earth affected by the virus. We think particularly of those that belong to our own missions and those that are suffering in those areas, and our missionaries reaching out to them and helping them at this time. We think of that awful flooding in Kenya yesterday that has brought some death and certainly devastation. We do pray that as our sister Margaret would seek to be a help where she can be in the midst of it all, that thou will bless her and encourage her, and our pastors that are there too, remember them for good. We commit Pastor Patrice into your care, and Pastor Andrew and Pastor Emmanuel. We commit the churches to thee. Oh, bless them in their circumstances. We remember the sick, Lord, especially those belonging to the congregation and associated to us. We think of those that are suffering with the virus. We think of those that are very ill at this time in hospital. Lord, we mourn over the fact that some that we've prayed for are no longer here, that God in his providential mercy saw fit to call them into eternity. We pray for grieving families today, that thou wilt bless them. We remember governments of the world as decisions are made that will affect the populations of their countries. We pray that thou wilt guide them with wisdom, that they might know what to do, that this virus might be stayed. We remember, Lord, Elizabeth Elliot down there in Australia that's been so critical in these days, and her family belonging to the church here. You know all about her, Lord, and we pray that thou wilt be with her and be with her family in these very, very difficult times. Lord, spread your covering wings around us now for this service. Give us a real conscious sense of God's nearness. Lord, help this preacher as I stand in the pulpit today, as I look out into an empty church. Lord, make me conscious that God is here, that thou art with me in the glorious trinity of thy persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, make me aware that out there listening in to this service, we have our congregation and others besides, and we just seek your blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to hear another hymn just now, the hymn 268, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Again, may blessing be yours as we listen to this pre-recording of our congregation. We continue to meet under these difficult circumstances because of coronavirus. Our church buildings are closed for public worship. But nonetheless, you join us today, you listen in on Sermon Audio on Facebook, and we are delighted to welcome you in the Saviour's name. And I want to thank so many who have contacted us, some by email, some by text, some in other ways like phone calls, just to encourage us at this time and to say how much you have been blessed through the services and through the daily video casts that are going out. I want to remind you that we meet again tonight at 7 o'clock. Will you be in prayer between now and then? Pray for the blessing of God upon the gospel service. I want to preach on the lifting up of Christ. This is the great task of every true preacher of the word, to exalt our Saviour. And I pray as we do so in the gospel tonight, that souls will be drawn to Christ. Tuesday night is the Youth Challenge link up at 7 o'clock. Now, Youth Challenge would normally have been finished at this time of the year, but because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, we're seeking that church life goes on as best as possible, and we're still wanting to have contact with the children who are now off school, who by and large are also shut into their homes. And so these meetings will continue for another few weeks. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock, again broadcasting live on Sermon Audio and Facebook. Friday night, FPC Kids, our children's evangelists, have got together to do this, and the children can listen in. Then our youth fellowship, linking up by Zoom Friday night at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, broadcasting live again, Sabbath School 11, Bible Class 11, our services 12, noon and 7, and again, in the will of God, I'll be here to minister the truths of the Scriptures. Do you remember that we are seeking to help with the elderly, the vulnerable, the sick, and those in need? Don't hesitate to contact us if you need us. We want to encourage you all we can at this time in the various ways that we have suggested and outlined. And so you can contact me or our brother Alejandro from our home mission, or any of the elders or deacons for that matter. As a congregation, we are sorry to hear about the passing of Mr. Trevor Shields from Finvoy in Ballymoney. We prayed for this dear man who was so ill for those weeks in hospital, and now the Lord has called him. And we pray for his wife who hasn't been well also, that she will make a recovery and that God will bless the family. Thank you again in the Lord's great name for sending in your tithes and your offerings, your building fund, and the other aspects of God's work that you support. Let the Bible Speak and our missionary covenant support and our Christian school. I think you know by now how you're able to get your tithes and offerings in. And just in case anyone has forgotten, that's the detail. Mission Board launched an emergency aid fund to help families in Nepal, India, Kenya, Uganda particularly, and we have identified so many connected to us in the work, 1,250 families who are in need in Nepal, about 5,000 people in total, in India, 60 pastors and their families who are struggling, in Kenya, again, 50 families from the Glory Bible Church that we're seeking to help. And then in Uganda, just in that immediate vicinity of the school, where the school and the church is, reaching out into the community, and especially those from church life and school life, helping the poor and the needy, 250 families. We said when we launched this emergency aid fund at the Easter Saturday missionary meeting that we would love to try and reach £40,000, and £50,000 would be better. And that will enable us to help for about 3 or 4 weeks these families. We're glad to be able to say that that money and more has come in. The churches of the Free Church are kind-hearted, very warm-hearted in their giving to the poor and the needy. I want to acknowledge that very publicly. And as more money comes in and as problems continue on the mission field in these various parts, God willing, we'll be able to help that little bit more. We received a missionary gift of £200. We want to acknowledge that today publicly. Martyrs Memorial is having an online mission. We've been asked to announce this and encourage you to listen in from the 26th of April to the 3rd of May, and that includes the Saturday night. And these meetings will be at 7 o'clock, just for half an hour. So they will be before any midweek services that might be conducted. 7 o'clock until 7:30. Just very quickly, these slides to do with prayer, we deal with them in more detail on a Thursday night at the midweek. But we pray for the intervention of God. We pray for those on the frontline services. We have our nurses listed by name that we bring before the Lord every day, as far as this church is concerned. Our doctors too, just lifting them up before the Lord and praying for their protection. We pray for the paramedics, the radiographers, the care workers, all involved in frontline services, and the hospital staff that are working there in the hospital, and of course bringing themselves into danger with this virus as they do so. We pray for the sick of the congregation, that the healing hand will be upon these individuals. We pray especially for those that are affected with COVID-19, that the Lord's hand will be upon them and their families. And the others who are sick and in need, many of them have been on our prayer list for months, and we're very happy again to bring their cases to the Lord, name by name, one by one, and just lift them to the throne of grace in prayer. We think of our missionaries at home and abroad, those who serve God in this country, and those who are in other nations of the world. We think especially of those that are still in the mission field in these days of coronavirus. Pray for them. Noreen, Andy, Hannah, Margaret, Joy, Paul, Dipankar, and our three Spanish ministers. Pray for the messages that go out every day, reaching people as far away as Australia and right here in Northern Ireland and all those countries in between. We're delighted that these messages are going out, and we just pray that God will be glorified and people will be blessed and encouraged from them. Pray for all the broadcasts going out on a weekly basis from this church. Pray that God's voice will be heard in the midst of this pandemic. Pray for what our missionaries at home are seeking to do with the kids on the internet week by week. These are all the announcements that we have to make. We did say at the very start of the service that we're delighted that there has been a new addition to the overall church family of the church and to our family, and that is with the birth of Micah David Moffat. And we just acknowledge God's goodness to this family and rejoice with them. Last night, not many minutes before midnight, this little boy came into a very difficult world. But as he grows up, he's growing up in a Christian home. He'll be taught the things of God from day one, and he will be prayed over by many within the church. I got a text this morning from one of the elders of Bangor, and they were just saying that they will be looking after him, giving him guidance and counsel as he grows up in the Bangor church, all the support spiritually that they can possibly give. We're going to have another hymn now. This would normally be the offering hymn. Can't ask you to push a button on your computer and give your tithe and offering now. We're just not that technical at the moment. Maybe that'll come. But it is the hymn 572. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Saviour to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. May we know in these days what it is to be hidden in such a way, according to the words of this hymn, for Jesus' sake. 572. Let's listen to this pre-recording.
let's stand. Let's sing it heartily to the Lord.
Stand corrected with the pushing of the button to give your offering. There is a facility on sermon audio that you can do that our church secretary set up last year, just to make you aware of that. I want to turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of John and the chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13. Going to read together the opening 11 verses of the chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Ending the reading at verse 15, always confident that the Lord will bless his word as it is read, and his word as it is expounded. And we're going to seek to do that now. Let's bow together in prayer. We look to the Lord for his grace and help. Almighty God, in the reading of your word, we praise thee for this incident, this scene, this history. We thank thee for the infallible scriptures and what we learn, and the up-to-date application that we can give to our hearts in the modern day. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. O Lord, we seek thee now in the word. We have read it. We're now going to preach it. Spirit of God, come and be our teacher and minister to every waiting heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Taking for our text the words of the seventh verse where Jesus says, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I want to speak on the subject, the inexplicable mysteries of life, which will be explained or interpreted one day. Not that God has anything to explain to us. Not that he is obliged to do so. However, there are things which I believe will be made clear in the better land. As the hymn writer said, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. Dark providences is what our forefathers called them. Those things that happen to us in this life, which we fail to understand, which we cannot interpret. We have no line that is long enough to fathom, and there are many. It is now the night before the crucifixion of Christ. It's a very special time. It becomes a very intimate time when the Lord unburdens his heart to these men, his beloved disciples in the table talk that we come to eventually in this chapter that begins with verse 31 of chapter 13 and continues right until the end of chapter 16. That's when Judas the traitor left, and this heart-to-heart discourse takes place when the Lord has many precious and challenging things to say to his disciples. But just before this, we have several interesting and instructive things. We have the washing of the disciples' feet, an act of profound humility, which we will come to in a few moments' time. We have the announcement that there was a chosen disciple who would lift up his heel against Christ and betray him. One of you, Jesus says. And these men begin to look at each other, somewhat bewildered at that statement. We also have the beloved John leaning on Christ's bosom. What a beautiful scene. The beloved Savior, the beloved disciple, and John just drawing up close where he could hear the very heartbeat of the Lord Jesus. And we have also Satan entering into Judas Iscariot and Judas going out into the night to do his dirty work, his nighttime work, his dark work of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now our text this morning is in the midst of the feet washing. The cross is very near. Jesus knew that his hour had come. That is the hour of his great and eternal sufferings. In less than 24 hours, Jesus Christ will be hanging upon the cross. His public ministry is over. He is now in close proximity with his dear disciples, his beloved disciples. He will use these hours to prepare these men for what lies ahead in the immediate future, as well as days which are beyond that. He spends his last hours in the sweet intimacy of the family circle, because that's really what it is. These men were his family, and he's spending those last hours in their company. He loved these men, loved them dearly. We read there at the end of verse 1, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He had called these men. He had chosen them. He had led them, taught them, cared for them, and protected them. There is a love that Jesus has for all people. I believe that with all of my heart. For God so loved the world. And I believe that there is a common love that is experienced in the common grace of God, wherein God has a love for this world and the ungodly who live in this world. But then there is a special love that he has for his own. And that's who he calls them here, his own. And I say to the dear people of God to get this knowledge into your heart, especially in the difficult days of life's pilgrimage, in the darkest hours of the journey through this wilderness to the heavenly Canaan, in those many situations that we cannot understand nor interpret divine providence, maybe even in these days in which we live, what's going on in the world. Don't lose sight of this. Jesus loves his own people in this world, and he loves them unto the end. His love is upon you who are his blood-washed, redeemed children, in a way that his love is not upon the masses of the world's populations. Jesus loved these men because they were his own. They were his own because he chose them. They were his own because his Father gave them to him. They were his own because soon he would die upon the cross for them. They were his own because he would purchase them at such a costly price, even the price of his blood. They were his own because he brought them into covenant relationship with himself. And you want to mark what is said here. He loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end of his life. No doubt about that. He loved them unto the end of their lives, to their closing day. And the actual thought behind the phrase here, to the end, is to the fullest extent, or to the uttermost. His love was ever upon them. It never diminished. It never waned. It never grew cold. It never abated. It never paused. It never stopped No, not for one second. Though the disciples gave up on him, he never gave up on them. Though they stopped thinking about him, he never stopped thinking about them. They often put themselves first. Jesus never put himself first. And though they denied him, like Peter, with oaths and cursings, the Lord Jesus Christ never denied them. And though they followed him afar off, he was always near to them, right beside them, as close as could be imagined. And though they forsook him at the cross, he never forsook them. He loved them unto the end. To the end means a love that will never end. The love of Jesus for his own people is forever. Jesus will never and can never stop loving his own. It isn't a love that comes and goes. It's not a love that's here today and gone tomorrow, like so much of the love that we have in our hearts for others, even sadly for the Lord Jesus Christ. To the end means a love that reaches to the fullest extent. Some have translated this phrase, he loved them to the uttermost. Even here at the supper table, there's an evil power at work. As the devil puts it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Savior. And it wasn't long before Satan entered into him in verse 27, and he goes out to perform his cowardly and wicked work. But before that, Jesus does something remarkable on this unforgettable night. In verses 4 and 5, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He rises from supper. He pours water into a basin and he proceeds to wash the feet of his disciples, an act of profound humility on his part. Jesus did something that must have seemed incredible. At this critical moment, on the very evening before the cross, Jesus did not think of himself. He thought about his disciples and he stooped at their feet to wash them. He loved them to the end. They were going to treat him badly. In the matter of hours, they would fail in the place of prayer, fail to watch with Christ even for that 1 hour. They would forsake him in the garden. Every single disciple went away from him. They would deny him, Peter, with oaths and cursings. They would fail to stand up for him at his trial, and yet he loved them. This was an extreme act of servanthood, what the Lord does here. According to Jewish laws and traditions regarding the relationship between the master and his disciples, a teacher had no right to demand or expect that his disciples would wash his feet. It was absolutely unthinkable that the master would wash the disciples' feet. And yet that's what's happening. When it came to Peter's turn, he objected. He felt uncomfortable that Jesus performed such a humble act of service to him, something that the lowest servant would normally do. The foot washing was a powerful lesson on humility, but it was much more than that. It also showed that Jesus had no fellowship. He had no real or deep connection with those who had not been cleansed by him. All this led to the statement of Christ in my text. What I do, thou knowest not now, verse 7, but thou shalt know hereafter. The text here has been used countless times to try and answer the inexplicable dark providences of life when we face hard struggles. When great sorrow comes our way, when immeasurable grief fills our hearts, when terrible disappointment comes along the pathway of life and we are frustrated, we are confused, and maybe even angry with God himself. We have fallen back upon this glorious text and we've tried to comfort ourselves in it. Here's a timely word in these coronavirus days. And here is a timely word for all of our troubled days. Jesus says, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And so we're going to think about the inexplicable mysteries of life, which will be explained or interpreted one day. First of all, the inexplicable happenings in this world. I think we can make that little statement as we read the text. Jesus saying, "What I do, thou knowest not now." Stooping at the feet of Peter and these other men, Jesus makes this statement. And this can be applied to so much of what happens to us or around us in this world today, which appears to be of a negative experience. Most of us have been there at one time or another. We have entered some dark valley which we couldn't explain. We have faced some awful situation that was impossible to interpret. And we have just had to admit, "I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why God has allowed this sorrow to cross my path. I don't know why the Almighty should permit this catastrophe in the world." As we look around and we see all these things that are happening, can we explain coronavirus? Not fully. Not entirely. Not satisfactorily. Oh, we can trust God, even when we cannot trace him in his steps. We can acknowledge his sovereignty. We can certainly say that he is the supreme ruler of all things. We can say that he has a divine plan. He has a purpose in all that he does. He knows what he's doing, even when we don't. But finding all the answers is just impossible. And I hear Jesus say, "What I do, thou knowest not now." Matthew Arnold, just 12 days ago, was called into eternity. 24 years of age. In a family that has already in the past come through horrific experiences and death in their home. Another young man, so young, so tender in life, just married, just had a little baby to his wife 3 weeks prior to that. We certainly have to listen to what Jesus is saying in this time. "What I do, thou knowest not now." This was Fred Orr's text, the missionary to Brazil. Many, many years ago, he went to that land because God had called him to be a preacher of the word, to spread the glorious light of the gospel. He brought his young wife there. In those days, when transport was not like it is today, it took 6 weeks to get to the land of Brazil, and it took another 6 weeks to get up the rivers to the destination where the missionaries were and where Fred was going to labor for Christ. Many of you will know what happened on the journey. As he took his young wife to the mission field and they traveled up on that little steamboat, his wife took ill with a fever. And within a week, she was in God's eternity. Called of God to be a missionary, to preach the gospel, to go to a foreign land and tell the love of Jesus. And yet tragedy strikes in such a way. "What I do, thou knowest not now." We think of the deaths through COVID-19. Very sad that on the prayer list that we have, and we have various ones that are sick connected to the church, but there is that section of those who have been diagnosed with coronavirus, or those who have symptoms with this virus. Very sad that four of the names that we've been praying over these weeks have died. And we think of families that have been plunged into grief, hardly knowing what's happening in their homes. Why did God not intervene? Why did he not answer prayer? Why did he not bring recovery? What I do, thou knowest not now. When I stood at the graveside of my 16-year-old friend David Greenaway 40 years ago, I couldn't understand the inexplicable mystery of God in David's death. A young man going to a meeting, going to worship God, going to enjoy the fellowship of other young people at a special youth rally. A young man indeed that felt the call of God into the ministry. And yet he met with tragedy in an accident that took his life. Can't explain it, don't understand it. As I stood at that grave, there were no words that I could say that made me understand. But Jesus says, what I do, thou knowest not now. When my younger brother-in-law died as a result of injuries in a blast bomb, poured down, the last police officer of the RUC that was murdered in the Troubles of Ulster, when as a family we came through the injuries, the hopeful days of recovery, only to discover a month later he died of his injuries. When we came through that terrible time with young children being left and a wife without a husband and those children without a father, can't explain it, don't know why. Because Jesus says, what I do, thou knowest not now. When God called home some of the godliest members of this congregation, and I especially think of our respected elder Albert Macaulay, couldn't understand it, couldn't interpret it at the time. Such a man of God used in such a mighty way in this time. What I do, thou knowest not now. Years ago, when young Nathan Buchanan was taken from this scene of time, couldn't understand it, young 8-year-old boy. But Jesus says, what I do, thou knowest not now. What is your inexplicable occurrence? You've lost your job. You've lost your home. You've lost your finances. Maybe you've lost your health. You've lost your loved one, your wife, your child. And you don't understand why. And my friends, you've all kinds of questions, haven't you? Why did God allow this to happen? Why did this tragedy take place in my life? Jesus would say, what I do, thou knowest not now. You know, it's very interesting that when something good or wonderful happens to us, we seldom stop and ask why. Why did I get this promotion? Why has my life been preserved? Why has my child remained healthy? Why have I prospered in such a way? Why have I become successful? I'm not saying that we're not thankful. I'm not saying that we never stop and acknowledge the goodness of God and give him praise. However, all too often, we only begin to ask questions when something negative happens, when some tragedy or calamity crosses our path. We ask why. Jesus says, what I do, thou knowest not now. And I want you to mark those words of Christ where he says here, what I do. Because in the overall plan and providence of God, it's the Lord that's doing something. Doing something in your life and in mine. God always has a reason, but we may not understand. We may not be able to give the answers. Thou knowest not in this world, perhaps. We may be able to read the meaning of some of our tears in this life. And time may reveal some purpose. I know some of the trials that I've come through, and God has used those trials to strengthen me and brought blessing where there only seemed to be darkness. Young Matthew died on Tuesday the 7th of April. It was a dark tragedy, an inexplicable trouble that came to that family. But my friends, 9 people within that family in this past 12 days have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are able to see a little bit of what God is doing in the dark times of life. But more than often, we can't make sense of what God is doing. And just now, we cannot understand all that God does. How could we? God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. You and I are just poor, finite creatures of the dust. That's all. Nothing more than that. And maybe you've been there. You find it impossible to interpret what's going on in your life. Maybe that's where you are this very moment. And you're in a hard place and you know not why God has permitted it. Thou knowest not now, Jesus says. But I've only a second point today. It's the other part of the text. The promised explanations in the world to come. But thou shalt know hereafter, Jesus says. Here's a blessed consolation someday we'll understand. There is a better land where our tears are wiped away and where sorrow and sighing is banished forever. And where our answers will be found if we need them to be explained to us at all. Perhaps our minds will be so open to the wonders of divine grace and sovereign mercy that we will not need explanations on that day. Maybe we will be so taken up with Christ and all that he has prepared for us that there'll be nothing needing answered. We'll just know that he did all things well. We'll just know that his plan was right. We'll just know that what he allowed was for our very best. Not now, the hymn writer said, but in the coming years. It may be in a better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. It's the hymn 43 in our hymn book. We'll catch the broken thread again and finish what we here began. God will the mysteries explain. And then, we'll understand. We'll know why clouds instead of sun were over many a cherished plan. Why song has ceased when scarce begun. 'Tis then, sometime, we'll understand. God knows the way. He holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eyes we'll see. Yes, then, 'tis then we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime will understand. Maxwell Cornelius, who lived from 1842 to 1893, was brought up on a farm in Pennsylvania. As a young man, he left his family's home to become a brick mason in Pittsburgh. But while working there, a wall of the house collapsed on him, and he had to have his leg amputated. He decided to go to college and train for the ministry and became a pastor of a church in Altoona. But because of his wife's poor health, he was forced to leave that church and to move to California for a better climate. There he built a large Presbyterian church, but the economy failed and people lost their jobs and the church had great difficulty paying off the debt. He was finally able to raise enough money to pay the debt, but his wife died. He preached her funeral service, and at the end of the sermon he quoted the words of this hymn that he had just written. Sometime we'll understand. We must get to the place where we trust ourselves to the providence of God, where we believe that he's working all things together for our good. We need to get to that place where we rest in a sovereign God who does nothing unkind to his people. We try to get to that place by the grace of the Lord, where we surrender all to the one who loves us with everlasting love, loves us to the end, who cares for us in our troubles, who is in control of every circumstance of our lives, who orders all things for his glory and for our good, even when we can't see it. Ask God for grace. Ask God for wisdom and patience. And ask God for a godly attitude through it all. Jesus says, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." May the Lord be pleased to bless his precious word to all of our hearts. Let us pray. Father, you know who this message is for. You know what everyone is passing through today. You know the application that we can make even to the circumstances of coronavirus, the sick and the dying, the suffering, and all the other multiple pains and distresses and sorrows and trials and difficulties that we face in this life. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ says, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Help us, therefore, just to trust in God in all our ways. We pray that the Lord will come and apply his word to every heart. And we pray that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to those who hear it. Separate us now from the house of God and from this gathering together remotely on the internet through the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue with us in the afternoon and be pleased to visit us again tonight at the gospel service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and may God bless you just where you are.